Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired like 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. Thanks for listening. My guest today is Courtney Cronin. And before we get to Courtney, here's a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com, and there you'll find photos of our guests, some stories that they've written, some stories that I've written. You'll find links to their social media. You'll find links to our social media. And that is, of course, Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram, Travel Tales Pod on X. And we have a Facebook page. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on iHeartRadio. We're on Spotify. We're basically wherever you get your podcasts. So if you are listening to us on those services, and most of you are, I ask that you please give us a good rating. Maybe say a few nice things, maybe give a thumbs up or star rating, however you handle your business. I ask that you help us out in that way. I've never asked you for money, but I do ask you for a little thumbs up and a little recognition, because that helps more people find the show by boosting our presence on those platforms, and that would be a cool thing for you to do. If you think you'd be right for the show, or maybe you know somebody who'd be right for the show, or maybe you just want to ask me travel questions, or just say cool things, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Okay, Courtney Cronin is a comedian that I've known for many years. We've performed together. We've attended a lot of rock shows together because she's a huge rock and roll fan. I always see her at shows when I go see Crowded House or Squeeze, of which she's a super fan of those groups, and I'm a big fan as well. So we run into each other a bunch at those. We're living in the same neighborhood these days, so she wasn't that hard to convince to join me here in the garage studio and talk about some of the places she's been. We talk a lot about Germany because her husband is German, and she goes there a lot. So she has a lot of tips on some places to see that are a little bit off the beaten path, which was kind of cool. Some places I've never heard of. We talk about her performing on some of the themed music cruises out there. She's a regular on the Kiss cruises and the Monsters of Rock cruises. Two cruises I've never done, but they sound interesting. And she makes them interesting. She's got some good stories from there. She's met a ton of rock stars. She works a lot as a writer and producer in television, along with being a very funny stand-up comedian. So if you ever get a chance to see her perform, check her out. And until you can see her live, you can listen to her right here on the Travel Tales Podcast. Please enjoy my chat with Courtney Cronin. So that little box there, that is a German advent calendar box of chocolates.
What?
Christmas advent calendar. So I've had that. So I went to a travel event for Eurail.
Oh my God.
And there was a guest that I had that was on Hidden Germany was his, he's like the representative for that. So it's all these towns that aren't usually seen by tourists and stuff. So
marzipan.
That was one of our parting gifts.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And it's been sitting in here since around Christmas. So I thought your husband, your German husband might get a kick out of it.
He will, because it's very German. It's got pralines and marzipan.
Yeah, these were the hidden towns. And I know you've been over there. So
I've been.
Just wondering if you've been to any of those.
A Koblenz?
You have?
Mm-hmm.
So your husband's from what?
And Tübingen, my Anne Freiberg. My sister-in-law used to live in Tübingen, so I've been there.
Okay.
And I've been to Augsburg, but I forget why. And Regensburg sounds familiar too. And I've definitely been to Freiburg, and I've been to Koblenz. But these are all along the train here.
Yeah.
Wiesbaden and Bonn and...
Well, I think that's how they sell it, you know, mm-hmm. That's easy to get to because you can get there by the train easy and...
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So how many times have you been to Germany, if you have to think of it?
Like 13 or 14.
Oh, when did you guys meet?
2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
We should give the backstory. Like, how does a LA comedian meet a German guy?
When they're done dating other comedians and No, I'm kidding. Actually, that was long. That was way before. I was in Vegas with my sister, and I just met him playing poker.
So you weren't? He didn't see you on stage or anything?
No, no, because then it wouldn't have worked out. Nothing would have happened.
This is where I insert the Germans and their love of comedy. Joke.
You know what though? It's so weird. The sense of humor is weird, but for oddly, Stefan's family has some of the funniest people. His cousin is so funny. His uncle Roland is his cousin Daniel's father. They're hilarious. My mother-in-law is funny. It's my husband's funny. Like, it's weird. You don't expect it, but there's a lot of laughter at the table.
You been to Germany before you met him?
Nope, I'd never been. I met him in October of 2008. And then I had to go back for, I was working on a show that was shooting in Vegas 2 weeks later, and he was still there. So I was like, okay, we'll go back. Cause we just talked. Like, there was nothing romantic. It was just like, we just stayed up and talked. And then I went back 2 weeks later with my job. And weirdly, we were shooting at the PBR finals.
Oh, the rodeo.
Yeah, but just the bull riding. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it was the coolest thing ever. And then Matt Eisman was the host of the show, and it was the sports soup. It was sports soup. It was sports version of soup. And somehow he said something, I guess. He did not mean to, but he said something that got us kicked out of the event.
Oh, no. On the air. He said, ooh.
Yeah, it was live.
Oh.
It was when Versus was a channel. And it was... Ty, what's his name? He was married to Jewel, the cowboy dude.
Oh, rodeo.
Yeah, and I had already done a couple PBR things, so I knew who all the riders were, and I had already shot all this stuff with them. So we went the first night to the big rodeo party, so I just could meet Stefan just for a drink because he was still there, and I was like, I got to go to this rodeo. And then I was like, well, I have to go to the event. Why don't you just come with me? So he came with me and hung out with me and Matt.
Aww.
And just hung out with us like the whole time. And then, you know, you talk, you hang out, you kiss, you're like, what's this? Is this real? And then he goes back to Germany, and then the show got canceled. Well, it got, that was all those layoffs that were happening at the end of 2008, where everybody was losing their jobs.
Yeah,
and
the country was losing their jobs.
Their whole country, right. So our show was 2 days a week. It went to 1 day a week, and they cut half the staff.
Oh.
So I was there the longest, only person who worked on weekends. And on the pilot. So naturally, I was cut. Whatever that was about. And so I lost my job, and so did the director, and a lot of people lost their jobs. So I had all this free time, and he's like, why don't you just come to Germany? Because I was going to go to New Zealand and go see Neil Finn's Seven Worlds Collide Part 2.
Sure. I don't blame you.
I was going to go by myself. Well, I had nerdy friends going. So I went and visited him, and I loved it there. And it was great. And I stayed for like 2 weeks.
Oh yeah,
I did, and then we're like, okay, this might be real. So he's like, I'm gonna come visit, and he had a 6 month visa, and he's like, I'm gonna stay for 6 months, or I'll stay for 6 weeks, whatever. We agreed that if it's not working and it's weird, you gotta go and leave. And he's like, okay, that's fair, you know. And then he stayed the whole 6 months, and here we are, we're still together since 2008.
Was he in Munich at that time?
No, he was never in Munich. He's from a small town in the Black Forest, southwestern Black Forest, called Unterkernach.
Okay.
And it's the closest major city, I guess, would be Stuttgart.
Oh, right. Okay.
But it's still a solid hour and a half away. So it's right in the Black Forest. There's a lot of farms there. The town's 3,000 people.
Oh, geez.
And then the nearest city, they call it the city because it has the old stone wall, and you can't drive into the city. You have to park on the outside and walk into it. It's called Villingen. And then there's like a sister city. It's like it's weird. They have two cities together. So it's called Villingen-Schwenningen. Can't make that up. And Schwenningen is like the more like city-ish city. It's got like the big buildings, and it's a little more modern. Villingen's the old city. And
so did he just leave his work or whatever? Could he work remotely?
No, he had just finished grad school, and that's what the trip to the United States was about.
Oh, okay.
And then he was working at this like fan heater company thing as like part of his school. And then when he was done, he just stayed there. And then in Germany, you get really long vacations.
Yeah.
So he and his friend that also worked there, they took this really long break, and that's when we met. And then didn't want to work there anyway. He was moving to Australia when we met. That was his plan, was to go there and get a job there. So he canceled all of that to come visit me. And then 2 years back and forth, then we got married. Wow. 2 years later. Yeah. So two years of back and forth.
You'd been around a little bit. I mean, you'd been to Europe and stuff before that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'd been to Spain and France and where else? Oh God, not really anywhere else, I guess. I'd been to London a few times.
When you went there and you guys started getting along and you came to that choice, okay, he could come out.
Yeah.
Did you ever even consider living there?
No.
I mean, you don't speak German, so as a comic, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you could do English shows. But I guess
you can, because there's a lot of Americans there.
Now,
and
I don't know what the scene was in 2009.
Yeah, I don't know, but a lot of Germans speak English anyway, like especially in the major cities, and they can tell you're American immediately. Like the first time I was in Munich, it's a very different accent there. Like even Stefan's like, you're not going to understand people. And I'm like, okay. So the first time we went, I went into a store and they say Grüß Gott or Servus. It's like a different greeting than in the Black Forest. And I went, Servus or whatever, responded. And they went, oh, you're American? And I'm like, how is that so obvious? And they're like, oh, we speak English. We'll help you. Like, so I don't even get to practice my German there. Everyone just speaks English.
Right. As soon as you walk in, it just like, it never fails.
No,
even when I'm
know.
In any Spanish speaking company, I'm like, I'm going to try. And then they just give up. They're just like, look, it's quicker if we just talk in English. It was like, how am I going to learn?
It's so true. But in Germany, like the accents are so different. Like where my husband's family is from, it's like, it's hard to explain their accent. I think it's called Schwäbisch is the dialect. And when you learn German, like on Duolingo and all that stuff, you're learning the high German, like what they would speak in Berlin.
On the news.
Right, and on the news. And then, which makes it easy for me to understand German television. I'll watch a lot of German television with my mother-in-law and stuff, and I learn a lot from that. But there, it's weird. The accent is weird. They add extra syllables onto words where it's hard to understand. So, like, if they say tschüss, which is like goodbye, they say tschüssle. And instead of grüß, it's like grüßle. And all these other things. So I realized I started picking up on their accent and I was saying things in their accent and in the dialect. And when my sister and my parents came to visit one of the times, there's no hotels in the town. There's like one, and it's like this big resort up in the walking paths are for the Black Forest. Uh-huh. And on a real clear day, you can see the tips of the Alps. It's super beautiful. They're far away, but you can see them. And, there's nowhere to stay, so everyone has like an Airbnb there. Everyone has like a third house, or like my father-in-law built a three-family home. He built it, so we have like our own apartment there. So when we go, we stay for a long time because we have our own place. So they stayed there, and the people that own the house, I couldn't understand them when they were speaking to me, and I would just stand there staring. And my sister's like, "How come you don't know what they're saying?" I'm like, "The accent, I can't understand half of." And then she. So she's like, is it kind of like, you remember when Larry the Cable Guy would hold up the signs of like things people say in the South that other people don't understand? And smatter chew is one of them. Like smatter chew. So we call it smatter chew. She's like, do you not understand because it's smatter chew? I'm like, it's smatter chew. I don't know what she's saying.
Well, it's like learning English from Brits and then you come to New Orleans. You know, you're going to be screwed. You're done.
No, it's true.
Yeah, or I go to Scotland. I find Scottish is the hardest accent of all of them. I'm pretty good now with British accents, and I can almost kind of pick out where people are from. I'm kind of in certain parts of England, but Scottish is the hardest of any, I think.
We have to use subtitles for Irish and certain accents for Stefan when we watch stuff. Even still, he's fluent, completely fluent in English, but... some of the words, he's like, what? You know?
How are you doing? How's your German now? I mean, you can get by pretty good?
I can get by. I can get around by myself in Germany. Let's just say that. I can read certain labels. Definitely food. I know all the food. I can read any Speisekarte or Speisekarte. That's a menu. I can read that. And
what were like the biggest cultural differences for him coming over? What was the hardest for him to get used to? And like, what's the hardest for you to get used to when you go over there?
I think, one thing he spoke about a lot was no bakeries.
Oh.
He just was like, where do you get your bread? Like, how do we get bread and pastry? Like, because in Germany, the bakery is such a big part of the day and you have your coffee between your lunch and your dinner. That's when you have your dessert, not after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And, And everyone goes, his mother or whatever, we go to the bakery every other day to get fresh pretzel or fresh Brooksen or whatever, like pastry, you know, breakfast or feshba, which is like what you eat at night. And that's always including bread. There's no low-carb diet in the Black Forest. That was the hard thing for him, was no bakeries. He just didn't get it. He just didn't understand why there weren't any. And, you know, I'm like, there's bakery in the supermarket. He's like, it's got plastic bag and a twisty around it. Right. That's not the bakery.
That's not real bread. Yeah. Mm-mm. When you went there, was there mistakes you were making? Or is there something you miss every time you're there? I always ask this question to like expats and stuff. And you know what the number, either the one or two answer is? Mexican food.
Oh, wow.
That's always like the one of the top two answers, the things they
that
miss.
That makes sense because there's none.
It's brutal. I made a mistake. Now my rule is I don't order Mexican food anywhere other than the U.S. or Mexico because it's always disappointing. Especially living in California, we're spoiled.
You can't order Mexican food in Boston.
Oh, like, yeah, it's bad.
There's no good Mexican food in Boston.
Tough.
New York's tough, but at least better because there's just...
Yeah.
But even Boston, I'm like, this is awful. Like, this is terrible. And he had a Mexican night once for his family after we were first dating, and he went back and he discovered Trader Joe's salsa. He and his best friend, they would drink it out of the jar. So these are the things I'd have to bring back. Trader Joe's salsa, Cholula.
Oh, yeah. Hot sauce. Sure.
Yep. And at first, Oreos, because for some reason there weren't Oreos in Germany, but now there are. So I'd have to bring back Oreos. But yeah, Trader Joe's salsa is like the money when I come back there for his friends that have come to visit us. They love it. So I always got to bring that and Cholula. But
Cholula.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. The only thing I miss is I guess when I'm there is I don't really drive there. And I am a little bit trapped in my trapped in the house. Like
well,
when I'm there.
You can drive. I mean, it's the same side of the.
It is. It's just in the forest. I really don't want to drive there, especially in the winter. It's high elevation. The snow piles up so high. I call it Mount Dold. That's my in-laws' name because the mountain after it's like plowed and whatever is higher than their garage.
Oh wow!
And it gets very. I mean, they're so close to the. To the mountains in the Black Forest. Feldberg is the largest mountain in the Black Forest, and they're not that far from it. So they get a lot of snow.
Is there skiing by where they are?
Right down the street. You can get in the car, and you can go 2 minutes down the street, and there's a lift there. 10 minutes down the road, there's a huge lift there.
Oh, cool.
There's like a big dip, and then, because you keep going up, 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 and then you go through like this long row of just pine trees. And it's the best in the winter. It's just covered in snow.
Yeah.
And then once you get down the hill a little bit, you end up in Treberg. It's about 15 minutes away. And that's where all the cuckoo clocks are from.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's the town of Cuckoo. And it's the largest cuckoo clock in the world is there. And you go into these stores and it's just crazy cuckoos everywhere. But it's so cool. It's so German and fun. I always go there every time.
Okay. So
I make sure to go to Treberg.
Treberg. Okay, so give us other, like...
I didn't even answer your question. I don't miss anything, really, except because now I can watch TV on my computer.
Right.
But at first, I would blast through books, like, because I didn't have that, you know, we didn't have it as easy back then, and then I would just bring a bunch of books, and I'd blast through them.
Does his family ever pressure you to, or the two of you, like, well, why don't you guys live here?
No, I mean...
They know you work here. I mean, they can't...
Yeah, there was never... going to be a way that I, especially when I was working in production offices and working like now I work from home because of COVID. So I guess I could sort of live there. I'd only have to come back once in a while, but it's real. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, it's literally in the middle of the Black Forest.
Like, yeah.
We're in the Southwestern Black Forest in a tiny little town, kind of far away from everything. I think even my husband's like, I can't stay too long. I can't, you know, and like his mom and dad take the same two vacations every year. They go to Südtirol, which is northern Italy. It's a German town. And they go there. And then they go to Galtur, which is in Austria. And it's
so wherever they can speak German.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only two places they go. That's it. And they've been here.
Yeah. But as someone who would like, you know, whenever I'm in Europe, it's just like having access to so many different countries at your doorstep and just going to the same... I don't get it.
It's weird, but they're just...
Hey, it's what they love.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Nope.
It does sound beautiful, though.
It is. It's so pretty. It is the most. That's what I say. I'm like, well, I'm going to the in-laws. It's not like, you know, I'm going to their double wide in right. North Dakota. You know, I get to go to their nice house in the Black Forest. And yeah. My mother-in-law is a great cook. And it's just a nice home. And, you know, they're close family. So the family's always together, his mother's side. There's always like a long ass table of people and trays of deli meats and cheeses and all kinds of crazy shit. And yeah, I guess that's the only thing I miss is like the only kind of food that I miss, I guess, would be like a big salad.
Vegetables.
Yeah.
Fresh vegetables.
Well, yeah, there's no like big salad.
Yeah.
I like a big California salad with a bunch of stuff in it. You don't really do that. You just have greens with vinegar dressing and that's it.
What about, are there places that you've been to there that maybe we don't know about, like off the beaten path? Because we've all seen the highlights, you know. Where do you recommend people go?
In Germany? Okay.
Well, or anywhere around there.
Treberg for sure. I mean, I know it's in some touristy things. I mean, the train goes there too. You can take the Deutschbahn there.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love Treberg. I love, oh my God, where else do we like to go? Treberg and then Villingen in itself. I don't really think that's ever on a tour. Like, oh, we need to go to Villingen, you know, but it's a beautiful old city and it's, there's so much history there and the city walls are the same. And a lot of the German small cities are like that. Like Freiburg has the old city walls and they have two really beautiful churches there as well. But, yeah, I guess I love, what the hell is it called? Meersburg on the Lake of Constance. It's right on this border. So the Alps are straight across the lake and it's a huge lake. It looks like an ocean. It's the largest lake in Switzerland. And I think in Europe, if I'm not mistaken, we might want to look that up, but it's huge. And there's a few castles, around the lake. Meersburg's one of them. And you can go in there and have coffee and lunch and sit in this castle. And, they have a nice tour and, I really like that place. And that's also like an unknown wine country part of Germany is all of Constance. And I can't remember the name of the other town, but there's this church there that we went to and it's surrounded by all these vineyards. And it's seriously the best white wine I've ever had in my life. California, France, goodbye.
It's not that
so
sweet
good.
Stuff. Or what's
it is not Gewürztraminer. It's okay, not Riesling. Good. It's called... it's the white is it's not Spätburgunder, that's the red. What's the white called? It's basically a Pinot Blanc, is what it is.
Well, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. That's up my alley.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Can you get it in the States?
I have looked everywhere. I can't find it.
Yeah,
I can't find it anywhere. And at my sister-in-law's wedding, she had it, and I was like, oh my God, that was the choice of white. It was Lake of Constance. White, what's it called? Spätburgunder? I don't know.
So that in Germany or Switzerland?
Look it up. That is in Germany. It's okay. Just straight across the lake. It's just straight across.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds nice.
Mm-hmm.
So he got you paying attention to soccer now?
He watches it every weekend. He's up at 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
Weißburgunder. Weißburgunder.
Yes. Duh. Okay. That's white. Burgunder. Okay. Yeah. Weißburgunder. That's what it is. Good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Make sure it's from Lake of Constance or any of the, like, look on a map and make sure it's around that area.
Lake of Constance.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And the city, like, she lives in Ravensburg, so we're, like, on our way to Ravensburg. So Meersburg or Constance, the city of Constance, and which is also another place you should visit. They have an aquarium there. They have a beautiful harbor. They have this large statue of this woman with big boobs that like protects the city, and one of King Ludwig's many, many summer homes
sure
is there.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Ludwigsburg too, to see the palace there.
Okay. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Rando towns.
So he's got you watching soccer.
Yeah.
I know. I do it too.
It's all right. It's fine.
It's fine. And it's done out here by like, you know, 9 in the morning. That's the thing. It's so, yeah. I bother.
Well, he watches like 3 games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps going.
Yeah. So if we're going to get to like how you started and all that other stuff, but you started here, you're a native, you're a LA native.
No, kind of. Well,
you were
sort
in Boston.
Of. Yeah, born in Boston, but we moved here when I was 11. So yeah,
yeah,
I grew up here.
I consider you a native.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, did you have a, like a sense you aren't like most, at least you were in Boston. You're not like a lot of native Californians that have, they have no clue. Like anything the other side of Vegas is just like east. They have no idea.
No, no clue.
No idea. So, I mean, was it weird? You remember the move and Boston to, you know,
well,
Palos Verdes is a pretty big jump.
It
does
is.
Not look the same.
No, it doesn't. But we also lived in Detroit in the middle there.
No, it really doesn't look the same.
Right. We left Detroit in the winter. I remember we were there and my dad was like, I got a job in California because we lived in Woodland Hills when we were really little.
Okay.
And then we went from Boston to there and then to Detroit. And then, but you know, all when we were little, so we barely remembered Woodland Hills. All we remembered was we had a pool and we loved swimming in the pool.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. And so my dad's like, oh, you're gonna move to California. And I was like, yes. And my sister was like, no, she didn't want to leave her friends. Cause she was like eight, you know, she was a little kid. And, yeah, then we came out. It was a definite culture shock. But I, you know, it was weird. The school was not as racially diverse as I was used to growing up. I'm used to being around all different races of people. It was so white. I'm like, where is everyone? Yeah. I was so confused. I actually had that conversation with my parents. I was like, where is everybody? Like,
I got that when I got to college.
Yeah.
I was like,
so
wow.
Weird. So that was weird for us. Like we just were like, this is just weird. and then we, you know, eventually settle into the weather and it's not so bad, but yeah, definitely different. But
did your family travel around a lot? Were you like big car travelers or were you like,
My dad traveled a lot for work and we were lucky that he would bring us with him. I've been to Japan a couple times and, with my dad for work and, same to London with my mom. And then my sister went to Australia with my dad and
wow.
Yeah, she's taken more trips than I was because I was busy telling jokes to drunk people in bars for $40.
What kind of work was he in?
So I missed a lot. My dad, I'm proud to say, well, he was in advertising and he started at the very, very bottom. And then he worked his way up and he, when he retired, was the CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi worldwide for Toyota, Lexus, and those were the main accounts.
Yeah, I was going to say why he went to Japan. I was wondering, Detroit and Japan, I was going to say, was he in the car business?
Yep. But
so he was Don Draper.
He was Don Draper, yeah. Without the cigarettes and sexism and cruelty. I don't know. I don't really know Don Draper. But no, yeah, my dad, and then he got bored and went back to work, and then he retired. Then he got bored and went back again.
See, that's, I was wondering, like, you know, when they say so many people, they, the retirement is so bad for them. Like they don't know what to do with themselves. I would take to it. I think I'm there almost. I'm halfway there right now.
I know.
I would be, I could do it easily.
I don't know what to do with my, like, I was just saying, I finished the job Friday and then I was just visiting friends over the weekend. And then I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself this week. I have no idea what to do yesterday. I was just like walking in circles. I'm like, what do I do?
Well, when did the, how much did you tour as a comic? Was it mostly West Coast or did you go all over?
I went all over.
Did you do the USO stuff?
I did twice. I was in Japan when my friend, one of my best friends died. It was a terrible story. I know. He was a father of my godchild. It's just the most awful story. So and it was my best friend. It was her husband. And I had to get on a plane and come back. Like, it was that bad. Like, I was with them every day. It was really bad. So I was afraid to leave for a while. But also, I'd done so much local stuff. I did, like, the China Lake. And I did the Barry Neal stuff and the whoever stuff. And I did a bunch of local stuff. And I just didn't do that great with the – I didn't find the pulse of the military crowd for me and what I talked about. I just didn't have the – brain to wrap around what I should have been doing in front of that crowd. It wasn't working.
Did you go during like to Iraq and Afghanistan?
Never.
And all that stuff? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Never. It just, I wasn't the right comic for it. And
what do they want? I've never really done much performing for the troops. So,
I don't know, but I think it just, I didn't get it. Like my friend Trish Sir, her brother was in the Navy and she grew up around it and she knew all this stuff and they just love her and she does great. You know, because she can gear her material, you know, to the crowd. But I just don't have that with that. I just never did.
So when did the rock stuff come in? How did you end up on Kiss Cruises and all that other stuff?
The rock stuff was always there, but it really came into play because of my friend Craig Gass. He really, really brought me in to that world. Like, I was always doing that stuff, like talking about it or whatever, and I was always going to concerts. I was always a music nerd.
Yeah.
And I remember my friends I grew up with that I knew back east that I've known my whole life, they were like, we don't know who any of these people are. You know, you got to find a way to talk about this stuff. You know, and this is before podcasts. This was right. Before. So I'm like, but people need to know about Mickey Thomas's voice. We need to talk about this at length for hours. Anyway, Craig Gass brought me in and started doing shows with him. And randomly, he just happened to be friends with all these musicians. So we'd be at a show and it'd be his birthday. And there's Rudy Sarzo, you know, from Quiet Riot. Like, he's just hanging out in the crowd. And like all these random people, I'm like, okay, so I got to sort of address that. I met Eddie Van Halen one night.
Wow.
Eddie
Van Halen
at the Comedy Store on Craig's birthday. Craig was living in their guest house, living in Eddie Van Halen's guest house, which is also where the studio was that they recorded in. It was like all on his property.
Yeah.
And it was at the time where he was very unwell. He was at the peak of his addiction and he had no teeth.
Oh,
he
God.
Looked...
You're talking about Eddie, not Eddie. Craig.
No. Craig's been sober for like 23 years or something.
Well, I should say, Craig, for people to know, Craig, he's a comic.
He's a comic. And,
but did he get known for doing Gene Simmons on Howard Stern, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what kind of introduced him to everybody.
Yeah. He was a Seattle guy, became a New York guy, got on Howard Stern. He's always done great impressions. And he did that Gene Simmons, and that put him on the map.
Yeah.
And then Gene Simmons heard it and at first hated it, but then over the years started to love it and brought him around to Kiss stuff. And then he'd bring me.
How did you meet Craig?
We met through Kyle Cease, and it was so funny. We went out to this diner after the show because I was like, oh my God, Craig Gass, because he was on Sex and the City. So all the female comics knew who he was.
Oh, okay.
Because we saw him on Sex and the City. I'm like, oh my God, you were on Sex and the City. And then, so he's like, oh, we're all going out. So it was Yoshi Obayashi, me and Craig, just the three of us, because we were both friends with Yoshi, went to this diner just to hang out and talk. And he's like, oh, you know, whatever. And then we're just talking about our dating lives. And he's like, oh, do you have a boyfriend? And I was like, no, we just broke up. And he's like, oh, when did you guys, or I did material about it. He goes, when did you guys break up? And I went, 2 days ago.
Oh,
and
no.
I just started crying and we had just broken up. And Craig was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And that's how we became friends, was like, he felt so bad that I was so sad about my boyfriend. He was just like, oh, it's here. Let's get her some. Let's have some ice cream. Like, he's kind of like a girlfriend. And now we're like brother and sister. We're very family close. Like, he's spent holidays with my family and he's close with my sister. And, you know, we're just very close. So he brought me into the world. And because of him, I performed on 3 Kiss cruises in front of the band and all these musicians. And it got me to know a lot of my music friends who in turn introduced me to so-and-so and so-and-so. And then I've just sort of been paving my own way in that world.
So I want to get back to Eddie Van Halen. So you met him.
Oh, yeah. I didn't recognize
him. And he was
a
mess.
Yeah.
I remember those years.
Yeah. He goes, I'm Ed. And I said, hey, Ed, it's nice to meet you. And no idea it was Eddie Van Halen.
Oh,
he looked so bad. I didn't recognize him this close.
Oh.
And he was sitting in the booth with me and you couldn't smoke there, but he was totally smoking.
Of course he was.
And Craig had this girlfriend we all hated, and she ended up turning out to be a terrible person. But anyway, we all hated her, and Ed especially did not like her, and because he was always hurt by her. She was always hurting him, and he was always sad about it, you know? I know, this is a long time ago. But Ed's like, he's saying all this crazy. And then Craig goes, you know, that's Eddie Van Halen. I was like, what? That's not him. And he's like, yeah, it's him. So I had the camera, and I was filming stuff for – I'm sorry. I messed up. His girlfriend had the camera. She was filming stuff. I'm sorry. And she wanted to film me wishing Craig happy birthday. So she had all his friends backstage, each of us doing a happy birthday. So it was my turn. And I was like, Craig, happy birthday. And while I'm doing it, Ed runs into the camera and goes, you need to dump that fucking skank. Happy birthday. And you need to dump that fucking skank you're going out with, or something like that. And then ran off and I'm just standing there.
Do you have a copy of this somewhere?
No, she has it.
Ah.
But Craig loves to tell that story. I'm never in it, but it was me that he jumped in front of and yelled. But yeah, it was very awkward, but very funny.
So before you started doing like the Kiss cruises.
Yeah.
And all these, you just came from a different cruiser. It was like the Monsters of Rock.
Yeah.
That's a different one.
Yeah.
Than Kiss. So you started to go on these. Did you ever do a cruise ship, like a regular cruise ship?
Nope. Okay. Never. I've only been on rock cruises, and then Sean Polofsky brought me with her to do a gay cruise in the Mediterranean as friends, but you know, I worked on material with her and stuff. And
oh, you didn't go up?
No, you can't. They're very strict. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I just like helped her, and the way she writes and the way she's so sharp about what's going on around her and taking in the environment, that's how I learned how to do what I'm doing. Like when I do a ship or I do a rock event, most of the material I do is about what happened in that the days prior, or only about the people there, like nothing else.
Right. Well, I got to imagine the rock cruises, and from what I've heard, the gay cruises, there's no like restrictions on language or subject matter or anything. Actually, they encourage a little rowdiness.
Oh my God. My sets are so dirty on the Monsters of Rock cruise. I never talk that way. And it's so funny. I did like a regular set at this comedy club in January, and some of our friends were there that I had just done this Kiss event with, and we were so dirty. And he's like, Courtney, I didn't know you had like regular jokes. I never saw you do that. And I was like, I know, it's weird, right? I'm like totally clean, talking about my dog, about, you know, being a music fan.
I just worked with you. We just did that set here at Rockefeller.
Yeah. That's pretty clean.
It was.
Yeah.
I'm trying to picture. I don't know if I've ever seen you filth it up or
oh my God,
drop a million F-bombs.
Absolutely filthy. Absolutely filthy. I mean, oh my God. It's like, and it's funny how people don't believe me. I'm like, you know, it's funny. My regular act is pretty clean. They're like, it is not. Like, I swear it is. It's just, that's what the crowd responds to. The biggest laughs you get in that room are body parts and, you know, F words. And
well, it's so funny. I can picture Sean on the gay cruise because I've never done one because, you know, I'm not their target performer.
Well, you're their target. Oh, I'm sure they'd be thrilled to see you, especially in your shorts.
Yeah.
But hey, look at that guy. Hey, we're going to turn him.
Hi,
we're
going to
turn him.
But I've heard stories from the crew, mm-hmm. you know, when they charter them.
Yeah.
And they said, wow, there's like no rules on those.
No, I saw 2,000 butts. I saw so many butts. I saw so much man ass. And then, because at the parties, they just wear jock straps and harnesses. Now, this isn't every gay cruise. It's
sure.
This particular gay cruise is a hookup cruise.
Okay.
It's called Atlantis. There's the other one, RSVP. It's a lot of couples. And, you know, what they do is what they do. But it's not as in your face as Atlantis. Atlantis is jock straps and harnesses and dances and, you know, you get into the elevator at the end and it's like a gym lock. It's like a men's locker room. It smells and it's all fogged up. It's just so much, man. It's just so gross.
Yeah, I know another
too much,
Brad,
man.
You know, Brad Locley.
Brad was there.
Brad, okay, was he performing?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He's very funny.
In fact, did Last Comic Standing with him.
Oh my God. He came in to sound check and he goes, you guys, I just stormed out of an orgy to be here. And he wasn't kidding. And he was in the room next to Sean and I, and we were so freaking out. We're like, oh God, we need earplugs. We need music. And the good news was he never came back to his own room. We never heard a peep.
Are there women? Are there lesbian
There were 26
couples?
Women. There was okay. one lesbian couple, and we hung out with them the whole time. Okay. They were great. They were gym teachers, I'm not kidding, from Massachusetts.
Oh, well, they're...
They were awesome. We stayed in touch with them for a while,
That's
actually.
Funny.
You know, I should look them up. They were so fun. Yeah, there was just Sean and me and her best friend that she grew up with in Oklahoma, and then she brought a friend. And then these two other women, we hung out the whole time. It was great.
So the Kiss cruises, mm-hmm. I'm trying to picture, like, I've been to a couple of Kiss concerts, and I know that they're mostly, I mean, you would expect to be, okay, these are going to be like people my age or boomers or something like that, but it's all ages.
It is
really.
All ages.
There's
yep.
kids, there's people bringing their grandkids
yep,
to these
grandkids.
Things. Is the ship the same or is it
the ship
all ages or is it mostly just adults?
For Kiss, it is all ages, but I'd say the majority are adults. It's hard to have kids on those music cruises because it's loud, it's busy,
a lot
of drinking. Monsters of Rock, there's no children allowed, I think, unless they're children of the artists.
Okay.
I think that's how it works because there were only like 5 kids on the whole Monsters cruise. And that ship is 2 times the size of the Kiss cruise. It's huge.
Paul and Gene are on the
Paul and Gene and Eric and Tommy are on the KISS cruise.
And how many shows did they do? Was it like a four-day, three-four-day, or a week?
It's 5 days. They do 3 shows. They do a Sail Away acoustic show or acoustic electric. I preferred the acoustic. And then, you know, they do more of the deep cuts on that. And they have like the special guests come up, like Bruce Kulick was on and he got up and played with them. And when Ace was there, he played with them. And so it's, you know, it's like that. And then they do the 2 makeup shows in the theater, which is a separate ticket for people.
Oh, you have to pay extra?
It's so friggin' gross. Anyway, then they have it simulcast, whatever, streamed into the atrium. So you can watch in the atrium if you don't have a ticket. So, but of course us, like the artists, we can go both nights. But last cruise I did was right after COVID and the capacity was at about half. So the theater wasn't full. So people could come to both on that one.
It's not like Gene to try to squeeze every dollar out of his audience.
It's so gross. The golden ticket thing at the last show, I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, they handed them out to people as they were leaving Madison Square Garden, which, by the way, there were 2 shows, which made everybody's head explode because they all have to be at the last show. I can't be at the penultimate KISS show. Like, these were people that spend every cent they make for 40 freaking years. And it's like, you can't even give them just that. Give them the last show. But anyway, so they were handing out these golden tickets. And some people got them, some people didn't. Well, the people that didn't, heads were exploding. It was like a whole thing. So people started selling them on eBay and people were paying all this money. And then all of a sudden KISS goes, oh, we've got more. And we're selling them on the pay-per-view site for $250. And some people went on and paid $1,000 on eBay. So those are the KISS fans I find to be disgusting. The people that buy up all the shit and then sell it to other KISS fans way, way, way marked up. You're totally gross.
Yeah. That's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
So how many of those have you done?
3. And then I've done like 5 or 6 other KISS events, like Cruise Fest and Creatures Fest
and
KISS Cancer Goodbye. And yeah, I've done like other KISS things.
So how many?
With Craig.
How much KISS material do you have? Like, and
a lot.
I know, but like, I got to admit, I got to assume that a lot of people go to these things over and over. So they've seen you. Do you worry it's like, oh, they've heard these jokes?
I have to change my material every single event.
Okay.
I'd keep some of the same stuff. It is hard. I keep some of the same stuff, but KISS gives us so much to talk about. Between each thing, they've already done a whole bunch of other stuff I can make jokes about. And then I always go to the songs. You can always do that. And then I always take the female point of view. Like none of the other, Craig and I would never have the same KISS joke.
Yeah.
You know, or like Don Jameson, who I also work with, we would never have the same joke about the bands on Monsters of Rock because I always take the female perspective and no one, you know, the crowd's mostly women on Monsters.
Oh, is something off limits on the KISS? Like as they said, hey, don't say this or Gene's going to be, or Paul, or they're going to be, don't touch that. Don't even go there.
No, there's nothing. As long as you don't insult them too much because it upsets the KISS fans.
Right.
You can't insult them really bad. But I did do a KISS event where they got Bruce Kulick, Ace Frehley, and Vinnie Vincent back together for the first time. And I've since become good friends with the guy who puts it together. But this was the first time I worked for him. And he's like, made me and Craig sign a contract that we wouldn't make any jokes about Vinnie Vincent because he was afraid if we did that he would leave. And we both have so many Vinnie Vincent jokes. Because that fills the time. Like, Vinny's the only KISS member you can get away with really making fun of.
Because he's so odd? He's
done so many awful things to the fans.
Oh.
That's where it hits. It's not, like, what they've done in life. It's what they've done to the fans. Like, you can tell, like, the bands that people pick when they say, oh, we want these bands, are the bands that talk to them.
Yeah.
In the halls and take pictures with them at the buffet. And that's what people are paying for.
And he just, Vinny just avoids them altogether?
Oh my God, he was charging people $500 to sign the KISS-tree book and like $200 or something to sign a baseball.
Oh my
God. Really? He was already getting like a huge appearance fee. And then he was squeezing all the KISS fans. And then he doesn't deliver. He didn't do the solos. He didn't play the songs he was supposed to play. He fired his drummer, showed up with a drum machine. Ace Frehley and Bruce didn't even know about it. They had to go up and, like, Bruce had to save the day, basically, because, you know, out of the 3 of them, he's the most solid mentally and physically.
I was gonna say.
Well, he's, you know, he is.
Ace isn't all there as well. I mean,
no, Ace is, you know, he's just getting older and he's just a little bit slower, but Bruce is not. He's not. So he had to go pretty much save that whole thing.
Well, they made a big deal of this. You know, it's our last show. We're going to retire. I mean, if you're going to make a prediction, I can't see them ever totally going away. What's going to happen?
The cruise will happen.
The cruises are still going to happen.
I think so. And I think, and Gene's going to play with his solo band, which apparently he replaced everyone that was in it before. And now it's all these different people. I don't know what's going on. And then, but it'll just be what Paul and Gene want, which it has been anyway,
yeah,
forever.
Sure.
But Paul, I mean, Paul really can't sing anymore.
Yeah,
he just
tough.
Can't. So I know he likes doing his Soul Station thing, but those songs are hard too.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do.
They're like 75 years old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. You can't keep your chops up, but I mean, it's
there's
really,
no
really
way.
Hard.
You know who has, though, is Sammy Hagar. I can't believe it.
It is pretty impressive.
I cannot believe it.
And with all that drinking.
I can't believe it. He sounds so good. I can't. I was at his 70th birthday party, not as a guest. It was
at
like
Cabo?
No. It was his 70th birthday, and they did this special like fundraiser that Matt Sorum from Stone Temple Pilots does. And he put, right? Isn't that what he's in? Yeah, the drummer. And he put it together, and Michael Anthony and Sammy Hagar were the guests of honor. And he got up and sang, and they're like, and you just celebrated your 70th. And I'm like, what? He sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is. I'm always shocked when like somebody will sing. Like I just saw Peter Gabriel, and he's like this old guy. You know, he's an old bald guy, a chubby bald guy, but his voice sounded almost exactly the same. And I was like, I got to give it up. But he was never like a belter and a crooner.
No,
you know, you're not Steve Perry. You can't keep that up.
No,
even the guys, you know, the Filipino guy doing Steve Perry. Now he can't. He's apparently losing it because those songs, night after night, hitting those notes, you can't do it.
Well, Eric Martin, that just happened to him from Mr. Big. He's got a voice like that. He's got that raspy, soulful, really big, high note, like incredible voice. And he was just like, hey, everybody, I'm getting sick all the time and I keep losing my voice. So I've got this other guy who's going to come and help me with the vocals. And everyone's like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, don't kill yourself.
I've seen a lot of bands now. It's like all of a sudden they have more and more backup singers and you're like, oh, they're doing the heavy lifting on the high notes.
I mean, Kip Winger would be very mad at me for saying this, but John does that for him in Winger. And I mean, it's not a secret. He tosses to him and John takes over the lyric. It's not, you know, but how can he expect to sing those songs for an hour and a half? It's too hard.
Neil Finn still sounds great.
He does. He has his good days and his bad days.
Of course.
But he does sound great. And then, I mean, the kid from Skid Row just bowed out today. But he's recovering from leukemia. Like, he had a bone marrow transplant.
That's Sebastian Bach?
No. The kid who was the Swedish kid from American Idol or Swedish Idol.
Oh.
He was in the band Heat. And then now he's been the lead singer of Skid Row. And everybody says it's the best Skid Row's ever sounded. It's all the regular members. But then this kid.
Okay.
And they did, I think they did a live album and everyone's swearing, this is the best Skid Row's ever been. And then he just had to bow out. So Lizzie Hale is taking over for four shows.
Oh, wow.
Which is going to be so cool,
I
think.
It will be cool.
Yeah.
So what are the, I know you were saying you were, before you went to Germany, you were going to go to New Zealand to see Crowded House.
I was.
And I've seen you at more than one Crowded House show and Squeeze. I always ask you first if you're going. And you usually are. Have you ever gone on tour with a band? What's the longest you've gone to see a band and follow somebody around?
I've driven around for Squeeze and Crowded House, and I've seen them back east and in New York. I went because Glenn Tilbrook was doing his DVD taping, so I went for that. And I've driven around during Glenn's solo shows when he's doing all these little shitty bars and stuff. Like, we went up to San Luis Obispo and there was like nobody there, me and my friend Sandy.
Aww.
And she like gets on a plane and goes over. If I could go over, but I have a deal with my husband, no flying to concerts.
Okay.
Which is fair considering how much I get to see anyway when I'm working. So it's fair. No flying to concerts. If I can drive there, that's cool, but no flying. Yeah, like I just saw Trickster this last weekend, and Pete, the original lead singer, he lives there, and he showed up, and he sang with them for the first time in 7 years.
Oh, cool.
That's not why I went, but it happened to happen while I was there, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. So that was a drive. But yeah, Crowded House, I drove around a lot when they first reunited and they did that. I went to that show at the Troubadour that they did. I waited all day to get in. I was on the sidewalk from like 8 a.m. until the show because they only sold a certain amount of tickets and I didn't.
It's a small place.
It was a small place. And then I knew somebody would bow out and I'd get their ticket. And that's what happened. I went to Coachella just to see Crowded House. I didn't care about anybody else. Although I saw the Lemonheads and Willie Nelson. That was cool. But pretty much those two. I'll go everywhere. And I've seen Kiss all over the place too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're getting paid though to do that too.
No, not always. Not always. But we do kind of find a way to get in with Craig. Craig will get in or one of my Kiss friends will have an extra ticket. And
what was the thing you just did in Key West?
That was, okay. That's the Rock Island Fest, but we weren't officially affiliated with it. Not yet. And my friend that I started with in Boston, he owns the comedy club down there.
Oh.
And so we do my show, Punchlines and Backlines. We do a special show there. So we have one of the musicians that's playing in the Key West thing that's a friend of ours come and do the show with us. So last year we did it with Jamie St. James, who's the lead singer of Black and Blue, and which Tommy Thayer used to be in from Kiss, and they used to open for Kiss. And then Greg Smith, who has been with Ted Nugent for a really long time, but he was also with Alice Cooper, and he was with Alice Cooper during Wayne's World. He was the bass player in Wayne's World.
Is he in the movie?
Yeah, he's in the movie. He always says, if you guys see me in Wayne's World, you know the scene with Alice Cooper in the dressing room? I'm the guy behind the lamp. You can't see his face at all.
Oh, he doesn't speak?
No.
Oh.
No. And he had this really long hair, but so he's in the Guess Who right now, but he's always the guy. He's the bass player they call. They're like, we need a good call Greg Smith. So he played with Billy Joel, like everybody. So we had him. And then this past year, our good friend PJ Farley from Trickster, he had done the Kiss Cancer event with me. He and Steve Brown, both two of the original members of Trickster, they both did it with me. And then PJ did it again in January at the comedy club in front of a sold out crowd on a Saturday night and killed it. He looked like a real comic. He's the only person that's done my show that didn't need notes. And I tell everyone, bring your notes. The audience does not expect you to memorize this. You're busy. You're doing other stuff. They don't expect it. And it's actually good to have the crutch.
So the musicians go on stage
yes.
and try to do comedy.
Well, they do because we spent weeks working on it.
Okay.
With them and writing it. And Don Jameson
like
and I write it.
It's like they're in a class.
It's like they're in a class.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's a graduation.
What are their reactions when they come off stage to... Because I'm always amazed at like how many people perform for a living, especially actors and stuff like that, who always tell us as comics, I could never do what you do. And it's like, well, okay, maybe you can't. And a lot of them can't.
No.
But it's amazing how like nervous and just scary the thought of doing stand-up is to them. Do musicians have the same kind of...
Yeah.
They can't hide behind their instrument or noise or something, and it's very revealing.
Hardest for drummers.
Oh yeah, because they're used to having like a wall of a fortress around them.
Yep, lead singers are the most loose,
sure.
I'd say, and then the people who are real comedy fans, they seem to do really well. Like Kip Winger wanted to quit so many times. He's like, I don't want to do this. Oh, these jokes, I'm not going to say this. This is silly. I'm not saying it. I'm like, just say it. Like we'd have to convince him. Then after the show, he totally kills.
Yeah.
Of course. And then, you know, and then was like, I go, can I just gloat for a second? Was I right or was I right? He's like, you were right. You're right. Like, we're not going to let them go up there if it's going to be bad. What's the point of the show?
Like, so you're writing most of it or all of it?
Most of it. And then Don Jameson and I have started writing together the last few years because of Monsters of Rock, because he's the big reason why I'm on that.
Right.
And so, so we write it together now. Like I'll put it, we have like a conversation. Then I put it together because I'm the order person.
Okay.
Of how the order is going to be. and then once I set the order, then I send it to Don and he sends me his punch up suggestions. And then I clean that up. And then we send a first draft to the performer. And then we all go over it on the phone. And then we clean that up. And then we give him the final one. So it takes a few weeks. It takes a lot of work.
Right.
It takes work. Yeah. Because it's 10 minutes.
That is a lot. I mean, if you've never done it before. I mean, most people who have never done it will get like 3 to 5.
They should, but they don't want to cut anything.
Oh.
I try to cut so much stuff. It happens every time. They're like, no, let's keep this one. I'm like, all right. You know, they don't want to cut stuff. PJ did 15 minutes.
15?
15. Solid.
Oh.
Like, there
were
no...
I credit you for that.
There were no like big lulls, but he was kind of riffing here and there. And I told him not to do that. I go, don't do the riffing, PJ, because then you lose the crowd. You got to get him back. But he never lost them. And I was like, okay, I was wrong. I was wrong. You actually, I'm very surprised because most comics can't make that work.
Yeah, no, true. Is have you ever gone like overseas to a festival? I don't do many festivals anymore, but were you ever part of those big, giant festivals or anything like that?
Nope, never did that. No, I never did that. I don't love big festivals.
Yeah,
I don't love it. Like even Coachella, I was miserable. I wanted to get the frick out of there.
You went to
just to see Crowded House.
Oh yeah, well,
just because it was the reunion.
Just getting in and out.
Ugh. And I totally wore the wrong kind of shoes. I'm like, what am I doing? I just had hay all in my shoes. Hey. My feet were all cut up. And oh, it was miserable. And it was hot. I hated it.
We're past festival age, I think. Well, we are going to
the beach life.
The Cruel World.
Oh, you're going to Cruel World?
Yeah.
That looks really fun. When is that?
May 11th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that looks pretty fun. I know beach life is May 3rd, 4th, and 5th, but I never go to beach life. I sit on our boat. That sounds really obnoxious, but we sit on our boat.
No, we sit on the yacht. Listen.
We sit on the boat that's destroying our lives.
Okay, now start with the boat. Whew. Whose idea was that? And
mine.
And you okay. But is it true what they say? It's like your happiest days when you buy the boat and when you sell it?
Yes.
Because it's nonstop maintenance, right?
It's been almost 2 years since we've had to do any maintenance on it, ooh, like serious maintenance, well, besides the zinks and the cleaning the bottom. Like we have to do that every month. And then, just replacing fluids and whatever. This was the first time we've had to do any major repairs since we first bought it.
Okay. How long have you had it?
2 years.
And where have you taken it?
Over 2 years. We haven't taken it to Catalina yet. We don't have a dinghy and we need one before you can go over there. Really, you should just have one.
Right.
And, we just have kayak and paddleboard. So really we've just gone, they've driven it from Marina Del Rey back to Portofino where our boat is. And then we've driven around the bay. I've gone all the way down like towards San Pedro, like around Terranea between Catalina. We go out halfway between. Okay. Just to look for whales and watch the dolphins. And
you're a big whale watcher because I remember you were going to Alaska and you asked me about which.
Yeah, we're going in May.
Okay.
Yep, we're going in May and I took your advice. Thank you.
Juno, you're going to go see him in Juno?
Yep, we're going in Juno. Okay. And then in Ketchikan, we don't really have anything to do yet. We haven't figured that out yet, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's a smaller thing. Yeah. There's always stuff to do, but I mean, it's pretty.
I just want to
see kayaking
whales
and stuff. Yeah.
I don't even care. I just want to see whales. That's the whole reason I'm going to Alaska. I know we're doing that train thing in Skagway. Is that what it's called?
Oh, you're going up the White
Pass? Because there's no whales there. Yeah. There's no whale watch there.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, so we'll go on the train with my 8-year-old parents. Up to Yukon. Yeah. Oh, we're not going all the way. We're not doing the 6-hour one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're doing the one for, you know.
You get it after an hour.
I think so.
You get it.
I think we get it.
But it's beautiful country up there. I mean, it's really pretty.
It looks amazing. I can't wait. I'm so excited about that trip. And I know I'm up for this job right now. And I know I'm going to get this job, which is great. And I hope I get it. And they're going to go, you can't go on the cruise because we're shooting that week.
Of course.
I'm just waiting.
Of course.
Because I've been waiting 4 years to go on this cruise. We were booked in May of 2020. And obviously it had to be canceled. And we have been trying to get this going for 4 freaking years. And now here we are. And I know it's going to happen.
So what's your bucket list? Where, other than the Alaska one, where do you want to go? Where have you been dreaming?
Tonga, 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 Tonga.
Why Tonga?
The whales, okay. Mike Siegel. The whales. There's a humpback whale like breeding ground, I guess. They have the babies there. And that's right after that time, they move real slow. The moms move real slow. Like sometimes you see them in Hawaii, they're just like floating and you think they're dying. But they're just tired because they just gave birth and they're feeding a ton and they're not really eating. So so that's what's happening, I guess. We have to go the right time of year, obviously, in Tonga. And they have these like, you know, small boats that go out and you can actually swim with the
humpbacks. You know, I just did that. In Tahiti, in Moorea, Tahiti.
I thought you swam with the grays. You swam with the humpbacks?
Humpbacks, yeah.
Oh my God, that's my dream.
Yeah, there's only a few places in the world where you can do it. And yeah, I guess Tonga's one of them and Moorea. And it's only between, it's like 6 months of the year where they go there, they have their calves. And
yep. That's when amazing. You can only do it. Otherwise, you're going to get swatted accidentally or hit by a male trying to woo a female. Or, you know, there was like a male brawl once with all the males in Hawaii. It was so bad. We had like, there were like six or seven of them. And they'd come up and then they'd go back down. And the guy's like, I know this is not really helpful, but you would not even believe what's going on down there right now. Like, it's crazy down there right now. And I'm like, we're like, all right.
Was your intention when you got the boat was to take it 100%. Up and down the coast? I mean, we were going to...
100% for whales. And I'm a boat person. I grew up on boats. Like, even though we lived in Detroit and here, my family always had a cottage back in Massachusetts. So I've been going there since I was a little kid. And I love the water. And I always wanted a boat. And since all we do is work and save our money and work and save our money. And then all of a sudden our neighborhood became Rodeo Drive overnight. Like, what is this? We can't afford to live here. So we're like, forget it. We don't want to leave our neighborhood. So we were like, all right, let's get a boat. So we got a boat 2 miles down the road.
How big of a boat is it?
It's 28 feet, but with the swim deck, it's 31.
Oh,
and okay. Then, and has a cabin. It sleeps four comfortably. Five, one person's really going to hate you. And then, or you can sleep outside. And then we try to eat dinner or just hang out a couple times a week. And if the weather's good, I like to go out early in the morning. I like to go out at like 8 a.m. and go for rides.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So if you, I heard though, like the marinas here are really expensive.
They just raised our rent on our slip. And yeah, they're not really, they're actually pretty normal, but of course ours is expensive. The Portofino, because we're part of the hotel and get a discount on all this stuff at the hotel, but you can use the pool and the jacuzzi. So we are in that jacuzzi all the time. And we're the only people who use it all the time. We see us and randomly the guy who lives in his boat next to us. It's always the three of us. It's like, and then people in the hotel, like no one uses it. I'm like, oh my God, we're here all the time.
I almost texted you last week because we had drinks at the Baleen restaurant, which is like overlooking all those boats.
Yeah, that's right behind us.
We probably saw you. We already saw your boat, I mean.
You probably did. It's right. We're right behind that.
Okay.
So
what's it called? Maybe I can see.
We don't have.
I want to give it away. You don't have a name yet?
We do. We don't have the lettering on yet. It's called the Amazing Larry. That's the name of the boat.
Okay. Give the story of why.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure. There's a line where Pee-wee says, "Is there something you'd like to share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?" And Amazing Larry is this bald guy with but he has a mohawk with all different colors.
Sure.
And he doesn't talk. He just taps someone on the shoulder and then turns around. But it's such a funny line. And all our life, we always said Amazing Larry. So when we got we have a little whaler back east, like our family boat. And I wanted to name it the Amazing Larry. And my mother would not let me name it the Amazing Larry. So we just call it that. So I'm like, no, I'm naming my boat the Amazing Larry. I went through 100 names. We looked at Germany. I wanted to name it Buckelwal because that's a humpback whale in German. And I made like a logo and everything, but it's the Amazing Larry. It just is. It's so funny when we get our like thing. It's like Cronin Dold, the Amazing Larry, Doc 20. Like it's just, it's so funny.
Okay, we should wrap it up. So what do you do? Like, let's do a speed round. It's like, are you aisle or window on flying?
Aisle.
Me too.
Aisle.
I feel cramped in if I'm up against the window.
I can't, unless there's no one in the middle, then yeah. I can do the window. But other than that, I got to be in the aisle.
Too crowded in there.
Yeah.
Too crowded. What was the craziest thing you ever like ate in another country?
Oh, monkfish liver.
Ooh, where was that?
Japan.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going there soon.
It's pretty good.
Oh, really?
It is. I don't think I could eat it again. I only had it a few times. But then I came back here and ordered it again. And I was like, I realized what I was eating. And was like, why am I eating this?
Did you know it at the time when you were over there?
Yeah, it was good.
Were you mostly in Tokyo? If you got any advice or tips that Tokyo? I've been there once. It was because I'm taking the trip that, again, it was supposed to be in May of 2020.
Oh.
And we're finally going a couple weeks.
To Tokyo?
Yeah.
Tokyo, oh my God.
And maybe Kyoto and a few other
places. Oh my God. Okay, so in Kyoto, there's this noodle place where the noodles come down like a river of ice water. To cool them. Like they boil them, then they throw them in this river of ice water, and then you have to catch your noodles.
Oh, really?
And put them in your bowl. And
that sounds cool.
Yes. Like you got to do that.
Okay.
And then in Tokyo, Well, there's the Vampire Cafe, which is like all vampire theme. It's really weird.
There's a theme for every you can get a theme for.
I just like Shibuya for some reason. That's where like the coolest restaurants were in the parks. And then Harajuku, is that the Sundays, the music festival on Sundays?
Oh, probably. I mean, that's the crazy shopping area with the.
That's the Ginza, right? The Harajuku is the where they have the music on Sundays, and the dancing Elvises. Look up the dancing Elvises.
All right.
It's so much fun.
I'm doing a show there.
Oh my God, where?
There's a new comedy club there. I don't know how new it is, but yeah, I just talked to...
Laura was just there.
Laura Hayden?
Yeah.
She was just here last week.
Oh, okay.
We talked a lot of Japan, and then Paul Morrissey just did it as well.
Oh, okay.
So I'm doing like a 20-minute set.
I bet Laura went to Harajuku. I bet, I mean, that's what they tell the Americans to do, yeah.
I've been there. I mean, I've been there once, but yeah, I can't wait to go back.
I cannot wait to go back to Japan. Right? Love Japan, everything about it, everything. I love it, the people, the everything, the food, the weather, the how clean everything is, and organized. I mean, it's the most, Tokyo is the most incredible city.
You know what they eat there though?
Whale. Oh, but it's illegal and very expensive and hard to get, because I've been to the
so it's illegal here. I don't think it's
it is illegal there.
It is
illegal there
now. Wow. Okay.
But you can buy it, but you're not supposed to, and they have it labeled as something else. Because I watched a whole thing on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. Have you ever gotten any accidents, gotten sick in any other country? Ever had to go to a hospital or done anything?
In Germany and in England, I had to go. I pulled a muscle in my chest because my suitcase was so heavy, pulling it off and I didn't realize I pulled a muscle. I thought I was having a heart attack.
Oh my God.
And I was really scared. And I was like, I couldn't breathe.
It's like a pectoral muscle or something you pulled?
I guess. That's what they told me.
Oh God.
And then,
that was where? In England?
In London. And you know, it's funny. They had to do like all these tests to make sure I didn't have blood clots and all that stuff. And then when the test was over, I was like, do you think I'll be okay to go out? Cause I was going to see Sunset Boulevard Revival with Glenn Close. And I'm like, I cannot miss this.
I could take us to the West End. Can't you just give me a sling or something?
Seriously. I went by myself.
Could you even lift your arm? Like,
not really. I went by myself and Stefan waited for me like in a bar.
You couldn't get him a ticket, or it was just
he didn't
care.
Go.
Okay.
He didn't care.
That's funny. So what happened in Germany that you had to,
I had this like internal infection. It's a long story. I had a bunch of surgeries and it was awful. And then I had like hang on, this might be happening again, but it wasn't as bad. So
you had surgeries there?
No, but I was in the hospital overnight and it was lovely. It was wonderful.
Isn't it great to leave and get the no bill or whatever it is?
I don't know how it worked, but
like $100.
Yeah, it was like, it was weird. But but it was lovely. It was nice. The London hospital was like Grand Central Station.
Right. Have you ever ever had run-ins with police or border patrol? Ever had to bribe anybody?
No.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, no. I kind of stay out of trouble. I mean, even by accident, nothing like that's ever happened. No.
What's the drunkest you ever got in a foreign country?
Oh, Munich.
Did you go to Oktoberfest? Was that what
it was? 2 weeks after Oktoberfest, okay. So there was nobody there.
Because I went to Oktoberfest, but yeah, so you got like the leftover beer?
Well, yeah, there was no one there, so we could get into all the big breweries and there was no problem. And Stefan warned me, he's like, this beer's really strong. It's more than you're used to. We went to Augustiner, and then we went to the Hofbrauhaus, and I had two big beers, like lagers or pills. Well, I just had like a regular one, not a big one. Not a Moss, they call it. I didn't have one of those. I just had a regular, like, pills and a half liter or whatever it is. And then I had another one. And then we had one at the Hofbrauhaus. And then I was starting to feel drunk. And then we had another one at Polaner. And I was so wasted that we stopped at the train station to get a pretzel, because the train station has really good bakeries. And our hotel was, like, right around the corner. So we went and got a pretzel and we went back to the room and I woke up and I just had pretzel all over me. Stefan was totally passed out and something like the bathroom and the wall were so close together. I could stand and it was like a tiny cruise cabin. I could stand on the edge of the bathroom and I just kept like leaning into the wall because it was making me laugh. Like, That was the most drunk. Oh, that was a rough train ride the next day. Oh, God.
Well, I went to the I went to Oktoberfest once, and it was it was one of those things where I was already at that point. I mean, this was like 12 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 2011. That's what it was. And by that time, I'm a little old for what it was. This seems like something that would be more fun when I was 22.
Yeah.
And not pushing 50 at the time, but it was. It was a lot of fun. But I remember going to the train station like later that night, and it's just like bodies of people just passing.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't just people crashed out on the floors, and like backpackers and drunk Italian guys, and it was just bodies laying all over the field, and it was rough.
I've never seen more drunk people in my life than on the trains in Germany. Like even in the morning coming from, I forget where I was going to or coming from, but this was the last trip I just took. I was just there in November for my sister-in-law's wedding, and we went to Munich for a couple days. And there were these two guys sitting on the train, because you can sit in some of the cars will have a table, and they just had bottle after bottle after bottle of beer on the train. And I'm just like, it's 11 in the morning or something. Oh, yeah.
I remember walking by, going to get a coffee, and just seeing a couple in their, like, maybe in their 60s, having their, like, two tall beers right there, but they're in the morning. I'm just like, man, God bless you. I couldn't do it.
Well, there's one beer that you can only get in the Black Forest. It's called Fürstenberg, and they don't export it at all. And that's the beer
that's made. The one to get.
It's so good. It's Donau Esching, and there's a palace there, and the Fürstenberg Brewery is right next door to the palace. So you can do both at once. And it's where the Donau is the Danube, and it's where the river starts.
Ooh,
and it starts in the town of Donau Eschingen. So that's a really good place to go in Germany. It's very rando, is Donau Eschingen.
And if you love beer, you have to go to Germany. It's like going to Mecca if you're Muslim. There's three countries you got to go to. You got to go to Germany, Belgium, and the Czech Republic.
Oh, God, I got to go to the Czech Republic.
It's great. You never been?
No.
Oh, my God.
We don't leave, really, when we're there.
I've noticed.
Yeah, we go to France, we go around Germany, and then one time we went to Amsterdam, and then I've been to Switzerland a couple times. And that's it. No Austria. I haven't even been to Austria yet. I've been going to Germany since 2008, 2009.
You'll make it there. Mm-hmm. You'll make it. So where can people find you? You can just get your plugs in now. Where can people follow you on the socials and everything?
Usually at Trader Joe's. No,
come on.
I'm kidding. I'm a Court Crowdold on Instagram, and it's mostly concerts and my dog. And Facebook is Courtney Cronin Dold, but I'm going back to Courtney Cronin. That's another story. But no, it's all fine. Everything's fine at home. I'm just tired of people messing up my name.
I get it.
Last time I was Courtney Cronin Dude, and I'm just done.
Why
wasn't
you go with the hyphen in the first place?
I didn't hyphen. I made it just three names so everyone would leave me the F alone. I didn't even hyphen. And then it was because my husband saw my name in the credits on one of the shows I worked on. He goes, why isn't my name on there? Oh. You're my wife. And I'm like, you're right. You're right. So I put his name. Wish I never did. It's just been like a nightmare. Hassle. It's been a nightmare ever since.
Did you have to change your passport and everything? And
no, legally I'm still Courtney Cronin.
Okay.
Yeah. So professionally I got to go back. It's just been a pain in the ass. But anyway, so I'm on Facebook and I'm not on X ever, even though I have an account, but mostly Instagram and Facebook, Courtney Cronin Dold. And I like to post about music, and I post a lot of stuff about Germany when I'm there. So
cool. Any other, what's your next concert you're going to?
This weekend I'm working. When's the next concert I'm going to? It was supposed to be Queensryche last night, but the next concert I'm going to, I think, is Mickey Dolenz, April 6th at the Troubadour.
Good.
Yes.
Good old Mickey. How's his voice doing?
He's sounding great. Mickey's doing great. He's carrying the torch.
Last man standing.
He's the last man standing. Good old Mickey.
Have you met him? You must have met him at this
point. I have met Mickey once. And it was because he was at the Improv at one of my shows. I've never met.
He used to hang out there a bunch, from what I remember.
I did, but
Mickey used to hang out there.
He did. He'd be at shows.
Yeah.
So I met him there once, and then my friend is his bass player, and I still haven't met him. It's really funny, but hopefully I'll meet him this time.
That's cool. Any comedy shows we can see coming up?
Well, this weekend. That's probably going to be too late.
That'd be too late.
I'm going to be at Pechanga. No, I don't have anything on the books right now because I have all my trips coming up. So
trips concerts or
Australia. Stefan's going to Australia for work, and I might go with him. We're still working that out.
Cool.
We just found out today when he needs to go, because the company he works for is based in Australia. And then I'm going on the cruise.
Which one?
Alaska.
Oh yeah, that okay.
Yeah, so I've got all that stuff coming up, and I don't really have anything comedy. Isn't that terrible?
You always fill in stuff, and then you'll get writing work, and then you'll get something else.
Something will come. Yeah,
you always do.
It'll show up.
I want to see the boat now.
I invited you guys.
I know.
Come down. The Beach Life Festival.
Yeah, that's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Jeff and Amanda are coming.
Oh, okay. And,
yeah.
Well, that Saturday we're going to be at Cruel World.
Oh, right.
So maybe Sunday. Maybe Sunday.
Yeah, just come Sunday. You don't have to deal with the festival and all that stuff. You just come in and sit. We just sit there and listen, and it's very laid back.
On the Amazing Larry.
On the Amazing Such a dumb name, but...
I love it. What do you think all this travel and the places you've seen and where you've been, how has it changed you as a person, and how has it changed how you look at the world?
Oh, I'm far more adventurous now and less afraid. I used to be afraid to go somewhere. Like, what if I don't know. And I don't know. You just figure it out. And it's like one thing I have in common with my comedian and musician friends, which I love about their social media, is they're always traveling and they're always somewhere new. And I'm always learning about places and, you know, what to do. And I have someone I could call for almost every country in the world to be like, hey, what do I do when I get there? Like, so not to be afraid, I guess. I don't know. And I love traveling. Like, I always want to get out, and I always want to go somewhere. If I'm home for too long, I'm like, I got to go. Sorry.
I'm the same way.
I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Don't you get restless? I get restless.
Yeah, I do.
I think after being on the road for so long, it just doesn't seem... I wouldn't know how to be in the same place for 50 weeks a year. I don't know. I couldn't do it.
I could not do it. I couldn't do it.
I don't know. It just spices it up.
Mm-hmm. I've kept that balance going for over 25 years between if I'm working on production, then I go back to stand up in between, then I'll travel. You know, I've always tried to make that work.
But now you miss your dog though.
Oh, it's so hard with the dog.
That's the hardest thing, right?
So hard with my dog.
Can he travel? Can Rainy travel?
He's been on the plane with me a bunch of times. He loves the plane.
He's good.
He's great.
Okay.
He's perfect. He loves it. He gets in his little house. It's cheaper to have three seats than it is to have two seats with extra foot room.
Oh.
So we buy a row.
Oh, nice.
And we go to Boston. Yeah.
So he has his little crate or a little like a
carry bag? He has a soft crate. A soft crate, like carry bag. And he has to stay on the floor.
Oh.
And it's better for him because he just sleeps. But we let him stick his little head out so he can look around, see what's up. And now he's not afraid or anything. He knows we're going on the airplane.
And he's good on the boat too.
Loves the boat. Oh my God. Well, he loves the kayak.
Okay.
Because he can see everything. On the big boat, he gets a little nervous sometimes.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
That's adorable. Well, thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I was like, oh, wow. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Hopefully we'll work together. Or at least we'll go to another show.
Yeah. Yeah. There should be some summer tours. Oh.
Are they coming back? Come and squeeze or Crowded House coming back?
Squeeze has a huge tour that they just announced.
Are they opening for somebody?
There was that too. They were opening for someone. I can't remember who it was. And then they just announced like all these dates, but most of them are in the UK.
Oh.
But the Rainbow is having their thing in April. And Donny V, who's the original lead singer of Enough's Enough, which is one of my favorite bands.
Chicago band?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, I know them.
Of course. He's doing a solo band at the Rainbow. And I just saw them. This is a new thing. And it is so good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's really good.
That's next month.
No, it's in a couple weeks. Yeah, next month in a couple weeks.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
That's Courtney Cronin. Should I throw in the Dold?
You can just do Courtney Cronin Dold.
Courtney Cronin Dold, everybody.